for the train to Jordan is picking up passengers from coast to coast. And faith is the key, you open doors and border. Cause that's the one that I love the most, and we all say, I don't hear you. Listen. And there ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind to save his own. Believe me now, and have pity on those the chances grow thinner. Cause there's no hiding place in the kingdom's gone, and we all say again.
The conference opened with a rousing gospel song featuring Lester Chambers and the incoming chairman of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, Jonathan Adelstein. The chairman was on harmonica. Chairman Adelstein in his suit and tie, juxtaposed against Lester Chambers, dressed casually in a leather jacket, set the tone for the entire conference. The audience was made up of artists with unique clothing and hairstyles, next to professionals in business attire. FCC Chairman Adelstein encouraged the diverse group to unify and make their voices heard.
It's critical that artists like yourselves become involved in the policy battles here in Washington. Now, while the FCC doesn't enforce copyright laws, the industries we oversee play a key role in distributing copyrighted material, including music and movies and television programming.
The FCC oversaw the 1996 Telecommunications Act, enacted by Congress, which, among other things, loosened radio ownership rules. After the 1996 Act was enacted, Clear Channel and Viacom went from a combined 130 radio stations to more than 1,400. In a study conducted 2 months ago, the Future of Music Coalition examined how consolidation in the commercial radio industry affected the music Americans hear. Rick Dube was one of the researchers for the coalition.
The argument for deregulation was that if one person is allowed to own several radio stations in a specific market, then they're going to want to counter-program because they're not going to want to compete with their multiple properties. It's actually a pretty compelling argument, even though it might look like there are more and more different formats in a given market, they're playing many of the same songs. So even though the appearance is that radio becomes more different and varying, instead it's more and more homogenized.
If radio is really less open to new or more diverse music, where can musicians turn to be heard and promoted? Does the internet hold a key? According to John Flansburgh of the rock band They Might Be Giants, the answer is yes and no.
I don't think there's anything dangerous about like a semi-professional or amateur songwriter posting his MP3 on the net and getting a piece of email from some guy in Ireland saying, I like your song. I think that's actually kind of great. But after a certain point, do you feel like there's so much cultural noise that it's hard to figure out what could possibly be good? If you're inundated with like a kajillion websites and a kajillion sort of home-produced things that all kind of look like they're home-produced, and there's just something sort of unappealing about kind of trying to work your way through it.
Sites like mp3.com offer a free outlet for independent musicians to be heard and promoted. While this is a nice service, the consumer is the one who has to find that rare musical gem. With more and more people uploading recordings to independent music sites, it's becoming increasingly difficult to find that musical gem.
Cheers to you, dear. X-tier, that is. X-tier. And you?
Is there any hope for new musicians?
You wanted something better.
Internet radio, while small now, is expected to grow, especially once wireless internet becomes a common service.
That's Jimmy Cliff on Radio Paradise, and we heard Ali Farkature with Ry Cooder before that from the excellent album called Talking Timbuktu. You can find a complete list of everything we're playing and lots of information about the music on our website at radioparadise.com.
Unlike FM or AM stations, internet broadcasters aren't limited in number and can be heard anywhere around the world. However, New music licensing fees and reporting requirements have already discouraged a number of would-be internet broadcasters from continuing. Another opportunity for up-and-coming musicians has its roots in the file-sharing service Napster, the free music-sharing service that was shut down and deemed illegal by record companies. Rhapsody is a legal music streaming and downloading service. For 99 cents, a person can copy a single track to a recordable CD. So, for about the same price as buying an album in a record store from a single artist, a Rhapsody user can create his or her own compact disc with just the songs they want to hear. In addition to the per-song copying charge, there's also a monthly fee that allows users to listen to any song in Rhapsody's catalog that they choose. You can think of it as an internet jukebox that you control. Tim Quirk of Rhapsody says that this jukebox service really offers an opportunity for new musicians as well as established ones.
First 2 weeks, when someone signed up, they just listened to, you know, all the people you'd expect them to. And then from the 15th day on, for the rest of the time that they're a subscriber for Rhapsody, they just spend their time exploring and listening to new stuff. Because once you're paying the $9.95 a month, basically it costs you $0. It costs you nothing but time to check out stuff.
Every time a song is played or downloaded on Rhapsody, the copyright owner of the music is paid a royalty fee. At the Future of Music conference, the FCC chairman and Lester Chambers both noted there's a big train coming, indicating more changes are on the way for the music industry in the near future. There's the possibility that Congress will soon allow further consolidation of radio and television stations. Also, the opportunities and pitfalls the internet presents will spur continued debate about copyright law and ways to protect digital content. For VOA, I'm